Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. That's found on page 1851 in your pew Bibles. Prepare your hearts for God's holy word. Always remember that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and hearing of it.
Amen.
Can I have the children join me up front this morning? All right. We got lots of room up here, guys. Everybody pile in. Well, how's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Are you enjoying the fall weather? I see Lily's enjoying the pumpkins. Who likes pop quizzes? Have any of you ever had a pop quiz, those of you who are in school? Not yet? Well, I'm going to give you your first one then. Who's excited? All right. It's simple. But you had to have been paying a little bit of attention this morning. What book was the scripture lesson from this morning? Does anybody remember what we read from?
Ask one of the adults that.
Yeah. Ask one of the adults. Who remembers? Anybody remember? Anybody else remember? 2 Timothy, that's right. All right, so now you guys know next week, pay attention to those little details. So we were reading from 2 Timothy. And of course, we don't like pop quizzes in school, but pop quizzes are an important way for any test, really, not just pop quizzes, to see how well we're doing and evaluate how prepared we are for whatever it is that we've been learning in school. And in our scripture, the lesson this morning, Paul wants to remind Timothy, who he wrote this letter to be prepared for the ministry that he is supposed to be out there doing, that he's prepared and knows the truth and is able to spread that truth to the people that he is ministering to. And that message isn't just for Timothy, that's for all of us to hear as well, that we need to be prepared in any situation, because you know what, God can put someone in front of us at any time, and we might not expect it. And they may have questions about who Jesus is and about his death and resurrection. And if we're not prepared, if we haven't been studying God's word and listening in Sunday school and paying attention to those things, we might not be ready to give an answer and to share what the great message of Jesus Christ is to those people around us. So we have to remember to study and always be prepared to give that answer. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you for your Son and the words that we have expressing what he's done and showing us his love for each and every person. And we just pray that we can know and be ready to share that love whenever the opportunity comes about. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'll have a snack after worship for everybody.
You know, in the world in which we live, we have a leadership crisis. Now back, oh, did you forget something, Press? What'd she forget? Oh my goodness. Oh, we can't have worship without that. Good job. Good job, Bren. Good job, Mimi. Nanny. That was close. You know, back in the day, everyone wanted to be a leader. So that colloquialism, too many cheese and not enough Indians, was coined. But the opposite is true today. There is a severe shortage of those who want to take responsibility for really anything in our culture. I can't tell you how many times I've asked someone about a new ministry that the Lord has laid on my heart. And the response is, well, that sounds awesome. You know, I think we should do that. And I will help in any way I can, but I won't head it up. I just don't think I have those kind of skills. Yeah. The key, of course, is that the only thing God requires is the yes, and then He will give you the skills needed to help you along the way. As we discussed in Mag class, you can say I won't, but you can't say I can't. You know, leadership is not an optional thing. It is essential. Leadership is the one ingredient that is essential for the success of any ministry or institution, or country, for that matter. But leaders are becoming an endangered species. The crisis in America today is a crisis of leadership. And the crisis of leadership is many times the continuing crisis of character. Now, a question I found this week kind of lays it all out. What kind of leader does it take to make an impact of permanence and quality in a society in which everything nailed down is now coming loose? And it does seem like everything in our culture that historically has been nailed down, everything in our culture that we thought was resolved and the things we were counting on, is now coming loose. So that's the question that kind of prompted the message this week. Now, I'm told that the seal of Moody Bible Institute provides a clue. If you examine the seal, you see that 2 Timothy 2:15 is on that seal. It's our scripture lesson for this morning. In verse 15, Paul is telling a young man who is about to take his place in a very important Christian leadership position, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, if you grew up in a Christian organization by the name of Awana, and many of you did, you will recognize that passage. Awana stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And that's an acronym that was taken from this passage in 2 Timothy. God is looking for workmen. God calls each one of us to unique service. But what we find out when we accept God's call is that many times the service that He is calling us to is one that He has asked us to take responsibility for. So let me give you a hint. If you are a Christian and you see some ministry that needs to happen, and this particular ministry is not happening, guess what? God is putting that ministry on you. There are 10 little words in the Christian church. If it is to be, it is up to me. You can say I won't. But you can't say, I can't. So say yes to what it is that God is calling you to do in life. Now, right now is bow season for deer. If you are a bow hunter, you know one of the cardinal rules of bow hunting. And that is, you must see your target if you plan to hit it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but trust me, people need to know that. Okay. You need to see your target if you plan to hit it. So this morning, we're going to talk about where the target is. So I'm going to give you a test this morning, much in the same way that Johnny gave the little ones a test this morning. Now, this should be a perpetual test that we never stop taking. And the questions that I'm going to take from 2 Timothy 2:15 are questions that really we should all ask ourselves at the end of every day. And we need to do that to evaluate the spiritual quality of our Christian service. Okay? So the first question is this. Is the Lord well pleased? Now, Paul says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. You know, it is possible to be incredibly successful with men and be a total failure with God. It's possible to be so consumed with what other people say and with what other people think that you forget what God has said and what God thinks. On three separate occasions, the heavens opened and we heard these remarkable words, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, we don't fully understand the ramifications of God's words until we get to Hebrews. And we learn from the writer that Christ kind of paused with God. And he said in Hebrews 10:9, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." God was well pleased with his son, and the son found joy in the father and fulfillment because he was doing the father's will. And so it is for those of us who are called according to God's purpose, which is every blood-bought redeemed Christian. It should be apparent that pleasing God should be the most important part of our service. That God has singled each one of us out. And in a dark and dying world, we could get pretty smug about knowing the truth when there are so many people outside of these walls going to hell in a handbasket. But we should not be flattered or smug that God has called each one of us. We should just be faithful. Now, I have several aquariums at home. If you know me, you know I just love fish keeping. I don't know why. Always have, ever since I've been a little kid. In my aquariums, you know, there's stuff. Like, you have to have stuff in there to keep fish. I have floating thermostats that tell me what the temperature is, you know. And I have heaters that actually change the temperature of the water. Now, in our Christian service, God doesn't want us to be just floating thermometers recognizing what's going on. He wants us to be heaters. He doesn't want us to just go with the status quo. God calls us to be movers and shakers for the kingdom. He wants us to change the temperature. God wants us to identify a need and then fill it. Not for the praise of men. Not so that people think we're cool, not so that we can somehow be different, but just because we love God. Not for the praise of men, just because we love the Lord. Now, someone far more clever than I said this. The praise of men is like perfume. It's good to smell, but don't drink it. I think that's really clever. That's why I didn't think of that. It's God who we want to give us the final approval. In Hebrews 11, to a group of regular saints like you and I, not Madison Avenue promotional agents, the writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. May God make us a people of faith. People whose ears are tuned into hearing one voice. The voice of the Father saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, the second question we need to be asking ourselves is the work well done? Now, God calls every one of us to find our seat on the bus. It's a different seat. that work which he has uniquely set aside for us to do. And he wants us to do it well. And to do things well calls for effort, to seek after excellence. We do not want to be shushlik, half-hearted, whiny workmen for the Lord. That's why Paul says a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Now, I understand that last week, Megan texted Johnny while he was at school. And she thought that Johnny had taken a picture of our new puppy. And she wanted that picture because she was telling the people at work about the new puppy, who's way too little to be at home alone all this time, so he's in a crib in my office. Anyway, well, apparently Johnny was at school, and he did not have a picture of the puppy, which he relayed to Megan. She was not happy. Wives sometimes get that way. And so Johnny went online and got a random picture of the breed of that kind of dog. And he sent it to Megan and he said, "This is the kind of dog it is, that's good enough." Well, it wasn't what she asked for, and it wasn't good enough, Johnny. Because nobody is cute as Preacher. But take time to think about whether that's your attitude about work for the Lord. I'm not suggesting Johnny's is at all. I'm just suggesting that he blew it off because it was his wife. But do we do things well? You know, take time to consider what would make us ashamed of our Christian service. You know, first of all, I think we'd be ashamed if we just aimed too low. And we have a tendency to do that. We want to aim low so it doesn't look like we fail, as if God's not faithful. And so we kind of operate without a plan or without standards. And we slip into the lowest common denominator where anything is good enough for God. And we can't become part of the mediocrity that often marks Christianity, when that is not what God has called us to. But I think we would also be ashamed because our Christian service is costing too little. Now, not only do we operate without standards, you know, we really serve without sacrifice. And we think, oh yeah, we'll serve, but only if I'm not inconvenienced. I just don't want it to inconvenience me. God calls us to be inconvenienced. Be inconvenienced for the Lord. You know, one of my favorite stories from the life of David, you remember when, oh golly, Ben, you remember when we did that for like a year? I think Ben was going to stop coming to church if we kept preaching about David, right? You remember that year we did that, Ben? And Donna remembers. Well, one of my favorite stories from David was when the children of Israel, I mean, they were dying big time, like a lot of, dying like flies. And David went to the high priest and he said, "What should I do?" And he said, "I suggest that you offer up sacrifices to the Lord our God." And David goes to the property of a man by the name of Araunah, okay? And can you just imagine this guy? So this Araunah, he looks out the flap of his tent, and he sees the king coming with his entourage. I mean, I'm thinking he probably had a high level of anxiety in that. I'm thinking his heart might have skipped a few beats. He comes out of his tent, and he says, "King David, what can I do for you?" And David said, "I want to buy a piece of your property. I'm going to offer up sacrifices to the Lord, our God." Now, can you identify with Araunah? And he says, in effect, you know, what? You know, like, you're the king. I'll give you the property. No, seriously, I'll give it to you. I will give you the utensils to make the sacrifice. I'll give you the sacrifice. Whatever you need, I will give you for what you need. And then David replies with one of the most significant statements from one human being to another human being, and this is what he says. He says, "No, you won't. Neither will I offer unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing." Boom. I mean, that's something. He's not going to give to the Lord something that costs him nothing. In our Christian service, the service that counts the most is the service that costs. Significant service and significant leadership, it's just not available in the bargain basement. It comes at a high price. Be inconvenienced for God. Now, you can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear, but it seems like we keep trying. You know, oh, that's good enough. You know, good enough. I gave it my best shot, when really that's not what we did at all. Our Christian service must be pleasing to God. And it must be excellent. And it must be costly. Now, the next one, the third and final question to our test that we should be asking that we should ask ourselves at the end of every day is this. Is the word well used? And that involves a passion for truth. I have always loved a writer. She's dead now. Her name was Ayn Rand. And my favorite novel of all time was Atlas Shrugged. And this is one of her quotes. Honesty is adherence to truth. And truth is the discovery of reality. I believe the greatest challenge confronting us in Christendom today is the realization that God has spoken and he didn't stutter. He wanted to communicate with you and me, so he wrote his message in a book. And he didn't communicate his message just to satisfy our curiosity. He communicated his message to us to change our lives. It wasn't written to make you a smarter sinner. It was written to make you like Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul taught Timothy and thereby teaches us. Do your best to correctly handle the word of truth. Now here's the deal. To do that, you have to know the truth. You cannot live your life referencing information you don't know. You can't lead where you have never been. You cannot give what you do not have. Our problem as Christians seems to be that we're very, very long on information, but we're short on transformation. I mean, we're forgiven, right? We're like poor photographs. We're overexposed and underdeveloped, you know. And I think Paul's also saying in that we must teach the truth. I'm convinced that the three greatest days in a person's life are the day they were born, the day they were born again, and the day when they figured out the reason they were born again. Everyone here this morning, I know you guys. Everyone here this morning is gifted, granted in vastly different ways, but everyone here this morning is gifted. Everyone here this morning is well suited. Everyone here this morning is committed. And everyone here this morning is very real. So my prayer for all of us is this. As we say, yes, Lord, I have heard your call in my life. I will do what you call me to do. My prayer, as we say that, my prayer for all of us is this, that we would have positive answers to these three questions. Is the Lord well pleased? Is the work well done? Is the word well used? And may he use us all with distinction for his glory. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we repent if we have looked around and said, my gifts are not like that person's gifts, so they're not good enough. We repent for that. Because, Father God, we know that we are all good enough for what you have called us to do, and we're all special to do it. And we pray, Father God, that you would convict our hearts and that we would not have our lives in cruise control just waiting for heaven, but that, Father God, we would slide into home and that we would have made a difference, that the world would be a better place because we live in it, all for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Next week, we're going to have an opportunity to have a special offering for an Assembly of God missionary from the retreat. He ministers in Myanmar. Yep. And I just wanted to let you know, because we'll have a plate out back for him for his ministry. But our benediction is taken from later in 2 Timothy. I just love this. Yeah, the chicken barbecue is coming up. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, Lois will pay you for that later. Okay. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your unique ministry. Amen.